So this was one of my dear friends, Andrew Trezona. He was a missionary, came as well. He got to preach at a funeral to over 1,000 people. So kind of in the Malawian culture, it's a different entire like perspective on funerals. So if even if you didn't know the person, you're all gathering together. And people would come from neighboring villages, the entire village gathered together. All of the chiefs came to pay respects to this man and to his family. And it was really cool that they asked one of the missionaries to come in and to preach the funeral. So Andrew got to share the gospel with, you can't really see it in the picture, but there was an insane amount of people, at least 1,000 people that gathered surrounding the entire area just to come and experience the funeral and to pay respects. But it turned into such a wonderful sermon that he gave about, we don't know if the man was saved or not. They weren't sure. But just now looking back, what he would have wanted for his family, what he would have wanted now that he's on this other side, whether he's in heaven or hell, what he would have wanted for his family. So Andrew was able to talk about that. This is in the other region of Matundu, so kind of the other section of, we would almost call it like a district or a county. So in the far region of Matundu, that's Abusa Jordi on the right, so he's a good friend of mine. And this is the place where they are now getting a new church planted. So right now they're meeting in a school building, but the school building is very small and they have to share it and they don't have much opportunity there. So I got to preach in this church from the book of James, and it was such a wonderful experience and some of the most incredible worship you'll ever hear, because sometimes they'll have a drum, sometimes they won't have a drum. It'll mostly just be voices, but they'll all be clapping and singing together and falling on their knees, and it's just such a wonderful, just emotional time from them. And also, there was one experience that really touched me in a different city, so the city of Dedza, but I was able to preach there as well, and all these people who had nothing were all singing and dancing together as every single person in the church came to give offering, and they were giving 5 cents, 10 cents in our standards, maybe 20, 30 cents, but it was everything they had, and it was really encouraging to see, and how they welcomed me there, even though I'm nobody special, but they just viewed me with so much respect, just as a missionary who'd come in, and they were so glad to have me there, that it was really just like shocking to me, because I would tell them, I'm just a normal guy, I'm nothing special, but they were just like, please come back again, please come speak again, we want you here, we want to be with you. I'm really looking forward to what the church there will be able to do. So along with the ministry aspects, U-Turn Ministries also partners with Doxa Wells, which is, it's a Christian organization, but it's not overtly Christian in the sense of it's funded from all different types of organizations like UNICEF and World Vision and a bunch of others. But what they do is they do that so they can get the funding they need to give the people clean water, because they don't have any source of clean water. And then they partner with U-Turn Ministries, who then comes in and will plant a church right after a well was dug, or will come in and revitalize a church, or come in and do the Jesus film right after a well was planted. And to be able to take these people, to take them from, usually they'd walk, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 miles to get water and carry it on buckets on their heads, probably like 40-pound buckets. Some of the strongest people I've ever seen, and they'd walk 2 or 3 miles with 40-pound buckets of water on their head, and the water would be half clean at best. And being able to get them clean wells, we also were able to use that not only just to help them, but also as a ministry to plant churches, because we could then say, we're not doing this well for some random reason. We're doing this well because Jesus is the living water and because we want to tell you about who he is and about the gospel. So they've been able to plant, I think, over 100 wells. I can't remember the exact number, but over 100 wells in Malawi. And now they're expanding to different regions of Mozambique as well. So this is at the orphanage. This is one of the beautiful little children there, and just getting to play with them was such an honor. But They just loved me relentlessly, and one of their favorite games was Tackle Colson. So the game was, if they could get me to my knees, they win. So there was probably 40, 50 orphans piling on top of me trying to get me down, and it wasn't until they all worked together that they could finally do it, but they were cheering and screaming when they finally did, so that was a great adventure for sure. And we'll see another picture of the orphanage later, but all of the kids there, they're still from the community because there's such a village mindset. So they all have a roof over their heads, even if they don't have parents or they only have a single parent. But the problem is most orphans still have a house, but they're viewed as the last in the family at that house. So they might not get a bed. Most people just sleep on mats, but most orphans won't even be given a mat. They'll be given whatever scraps of food is left over. They'll be given a little bit of water if there's some leftover water. So there's a lot of just struggles for these orphans, and there's a lot of orphans who feel nobody accepts them for the way they are, now that they're not part of the family that they're living with, or they're just with some distant relative. And one orphan in particular, his name's Lesson, he's a little bit older, he's closer to my age, but he used to sleep in the ditches on the sides of roads because nobody would take him in. And then he was afraid that the dogs would attack him, the wild dogs that run around at night. So he went and slept in kind of an outdoor kitchen they have. Their kitchens are kind of like outdoor open air. So he would sleep in the kitchen, and he'd go door to door knocking, just saying, would you accept me in this village? Would you accept me in this village? And finally got a home, but basically the person who took him in viewed him as like a servant. So they're like, we'll take you in if you do all of these things for us. And then he was able to come to the orphanage and learn about who Jesus is. They learn Bible stories. They also do like memory verses. And they're able to like memorize more verses than I've been able to do a lot of times, even though I've been in church for years, because they're so passionate, focused about it. They're put back into school. A lot of them fail out of school, but then they're put back into it through the orphanage program and given the food they need. They're actually really encouraged to make their own worship songs off the Bible. So they sing traditional worship songs, but then they also sing songs that they have come up with together through reading the Bible. And it's so beautiful to get to hear them all just sing together, and that's something I love the most. So that's another picture of the orphans and their undying love for Legos. So they brought some Legos over from America, and they view that as extra special. That's Logan. He's from Tennessee, and he's an incredible missionary, but he's also a cameraman. So he's been working with U-Turn to really get the stories of these pastors, the stories of these children out there, because U-Turn has been looking for more ways to just inform people of what's going on in Malawi, because most people have never heard of Malawi before. It's a tiny little nation in Africa, but if you ever are looking for it, maybe look for Zambia. It's right next to it. It's a pretty big country, so it's in the southern portion of Africa. And he was, you can't really tell, but I think he was asleep in this picture because of the dead exhaustion that he had to face, because we were going and doing Jesus films and doing village hut-to-hut evangelism most days that we weren't at the orphanage or we weren't helping the pastor training center. Or weren't doing all these other things. So this is Jerry Cook. She is a missionary who lives in Malawi in Dedza. And a lot of the kids on the top, you can't see all of them, but they're from the orphanage. They're in Matundu. And they're giving a blind a gogo. So gogo means elderly man or woman. They're giving him an audio Bible because he's blind. He's never been able to read the Bible before. But it's in Chichewa, so it's in the local language, and it's solar paneled. So it has a solar panel on the back, so he can always recharge it, and he'll never have to lose his Bible. So he'll have the Bible, hopefully, for the rest of his life, and he can listen to Genesis to Revelation in Chichewa and get to have that experience. So this was one of the times I was out doing hut-to-hut evangelism. So this is in Kasia. So Kasia is a little bit more of a distant region. It takes a lot of bumpy roads and trails to get to, and half the time you feel like your car is about to break down, but we made it. So after about an hour and a half of driving, we made it. And in these villages, we then went back and showed the Jesus film because we're looking to plant churches here. So kind of the strategy they're working with is going, talking to the people about Christ, showing them the Jesus film, and then showing a 6-part Walking with Christ discipleship series on these projectors they bring in, and then either planting or replanting a church in that village with a pastor who hopefully has been trained at Bible school, or at least been trained by someone on staff or one of the local Malawian pastors who's been able to look over him and pastor him and then plant that church and then follow up with that church to keep that church trying to be healthy and growing. But I love this picture because that woman in the yellow bandana there is actually the chief of the village, because her husband was chief, but her husband passed away, so she inherited the rights to be chief. And she was telling us kind of her testimony after we shared the gospel and telling about how she knew God was real because she'd watched him heal and she'd watched him save. And she got to also tell us the story of the woman on the far right who didn't even know what PTSD was. She didn't know what to call it, but she said, "I need prayer because my mind is wrong." And we were like, "Well, why is your mind wrong?" And she said, "My mind is wrong because I divorced my husband and he attacked me in the night with a knife. And now every time I try to think, I think images of what happened." So we got to pray over her and her PTSD, even though she didn't even have any context or any framework for what was going on kind of inside of her, but give her just the hope of the gospel. And then, I'm not sure if you can see him, but the man in the far back on the left, he was an incredible witness to me, because I think it was actually some of the little children, but it might have been him as well, actually called us over to share the gospel there. It was just this woman on the far left who was sitting there, and it was the first time in 3 years of doing mission trips overseas that I'd ever had somebody say, "You need to come here because we think this woman wants to receive Christ as her personal Lord and Savior, and we think she should hear the gospel." And I looked at my translator, Alex, and I'm like, "Well, we better go." So we went and we spoke to them. And kind of after sharing the gospel with them, we talked about things that are good for a believer to do. So going to church, sharing your faith, praying to God, reading the Bible. And when we talked about reading the Bible, he said, "If reading the Bible is really important, then let's do it right now. Could you lead us in a Bible study?" So that was the first time that had happened for me. So that same morning, I had just led a Bible study out of Hebrews 13. So I'm like, Hebrews 13 is fresh on the mind. So running through a Bible study in Hebrews 13, and they all were so thankful for it, and they just had that love for Scripture. But then he said, "Thank you so much for that Bible story, but I was wondering if you could read 1 Thessalonians 2 to us." And just out of nowhere, he just said, "Could you read 1 Thessalonians 2 to us?" So then Alex, my translator, he led a Bible study in 1 Thessalonians 2, and from the entire chapter. So just getting to see the response of these people and their hunger for the gospel was incredible to me. And I'm not sure if this man had been in church before, or if he'd maybe read the Bible before, or if he had heard the Bible before. But for some reason, 1 Thessalonians 2 was on his heart, and we're like, we're not gonna disapprove for sure if you want to read from 1 Thessalonians 2. So that caught Alex and I off guard, but we loved having that opportunity. So these are some of the orphans from the Dedza orphanage. So right now, U-Turn Ministries has 2 orphanages. They're looking to expand to 3, but this is the other orphanage. And the kid I was telling you about my age, is right there in the blue cap. But a bunch of these other kids are such an incredible joy, and they've also seen incredible growth. Because when they first started coming to the orphanage, they were bitter, they were angry, they just wanted what the orphanage could give them. Give me the food that I want, give me the toys that I want to play with, give me whatever you're going to give me, help me with my school because I want to pass school. But they've really transformed, and they've really grown to love Jerry, and they've grown to love everything we're teaching them, so that they're actually being called mini, like little mini Abusas in their own villages, little mini pastors and preachers. And a lot of them want to either go into ministry, or they want to go into a career where they can help people and tell people about the gospel while they're doing that, being a school teacher or a doctor or one of those type professions. So 2 of the kids there in the red shirt and the blue and gray shirt, they're twins. So that's Josiah and Yosefe. And along with Ernie, who's in the blue jacket there on the right side. The three of them were passing along the street a couple months ago, and they saw one of their kids just sitting on the side of the street with nothing to do, and they were just kind of talking to him, asking him what's wrong. Long story short, after they kind of heard what was going wrong in his life, they were asking him, well, have you ever thought that Jesus could maybe help you with that? And these three little boys were able to lead one of their friends to Christ and bring him to church that next Sunday, even at, I'm not sure exactly how old they are, but not even teenagers yet. And they were able to be that witness to one of their friends who was really struggling with something going on in his family. So I loved getting to play with all these kids, play soccer with all of them. So they're all obsessed with soccer, because you go anywhere else in the world and soccer's by far the favorite sport. So in that little field back there, we'd play soccer for a couple hours, just really get to bond with those kids. And one other thing that was probably my favorite thing that happened on the trip, I mean, I loved getting to preach at the churches too, that was an incredible honor, but probably my favorite thing that happened was getting to preach in the prisons. And that was a really incredible time for me. I don't have any pictures because we weren't allowed to take pictures in the prison. It was only minimum security, so I wasn't at any risk. But they allowed us to come in and they allowed us to share. And I actually got to go back to the same prison twice. So the first time I went with a team, shared the gospel to them, pointed them really to the truth of Christ, what he'd done for us, creation, being sinners, but made in God's image, that he longed to restore us to himself and everything Christ had done. But getting to go back the second time was especially powerful for me, because then I got to kind of expand to all these inmates. There were about 300 men on the men's side and about 20 women on the women's side of this minimum security prison in Dedza. And getting to really expand not only on the gospel, but then why it's important, and then what they can now do for those who have believed in Christ there in the prison, I got to focus on 1 John chapter 2 with both sides and walk them through what does it mean to be made in God's image. What does it mean to be, when the Bible talks about our lives are like a tree, and if it will produce good fruit or bad fruit, and they'll know us by our fruit. And the prison chaplain pulled me aside and just said that I was ministering not only to the 320 so inmates, but ministering to every staff member, every guard, because they were all listening and they were all just so honored that I got to do that. And I got to do that with Abusa Chiwayu. So one of the local pastors came with me, translated for me. And he's such a silly guy. He would often go off on stories of his own, telling them about how God's worked on his life, but he loved to introduce not only a spark of comedy into speaking to these guys to encourage their day, but really point it back to what does your life look like now that you have accepted Christ as your Savior, and talking all the more about why is this important that you remember this? Because I spoke specifically on remembering what you have heard and not letting it be going astray. When you're following after Christ, staying focused on him, because it can be easy to hear something and then start to lose your way. But that was probably my favorite experience, just because you just watch it in the eyes of the prisoners, that they were happy that someone just came to talk to them, not to mention how happy they were that they got to hear from the Word of God. So that was my trip to Africa in a big overview nutshell, but I'd love to answer any more questions you guys have. And thank you so much for praying for the people as well, because I can't do anything for them now, but got to keep praying for them as God continues to work and move in their lives. So thank you.
Thanks, Colson. That was really encouraging to hear. So we're going to move into our time of supplication, where we begin to bring our requests before the Lord.